StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany. Today, I have another startup in our media partnership with Hamburg Startups here with us. If you haven't already done so, wherever you're listening to this or watching this, hit thumbs up, leave us a nice comment, and make sure to hit the like and subscribe button. This time, I welcome Hannes to our podcast. Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Joe. Nice to see you. And thank you very much for the invitation. And also thank you to Zina from Hamburg Startups for the recommendation. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
We may add, for everybody who's listening to this on our audio podcast and our internet radio station, we are actually recording a video. So he's saying he's seeing me because he's actually seeing me, just to clarify this. Hannes, I've been looking a little bit through your LinkedIn profile, and what I saw is pretty interesting. You have a big background on SaaS, e-commerce, and marketing. Can you take us like a little bit through what you've done before and how it led you to founding LiveDAP?
Yeah, sure. Basically, I'm working in the online business since I'm 12 or at the age of 13 years old. Yeah, I'm always like played esport online games, and one day I wanted to have a website for my team. So I just downloaded Photoshop and created my first website for my team. And that was the starting point in the online business, where I got in touch with the online business, and also enjoyed talking with marketing people, with innovative people, and also with developers. So yeah, since more than 16 years, I'm working in this environment. And after that, I continued with my school, and then started my career in Hamburg in the advertisement industry, but worked for a tech company, for a SaaS company in Hamburg. And I was responsible for the marketing department in this company. I stayed there around 5 years. And this company also gave me the opportunity to do an abroad year in San Francisco. So I got in touch with a lot of people from Silicon Valley, and it was really inspiring. Then I came back, and I had a startup in Berlin, a ticket platform, which I started with a partner, and we developed a SaaS ticket platform. I did the marketing, and my partner was already in the event business. And from there, I switched to digital consulting, helped bigger companies, chemical companies, pharmaceutical companies to digitalize their internal processes. But yeah, since I'm 15, I've always tried things online, founded online shops. So I knew at some point I will always get back to found my own company. And that's what I did before. And that's basically the start, how I founded LiveDAP.
Mm. I would be a little bit curious, because you said you have an experience in marketing, but it's, when I associate marketing with software as a service, SaaS companies, I usually think about Google AdWords, Facebook advertisements, sponsored tweets, or stuff like that. How did you ever get the idea of building a company that provides marketing-related filters? How did you bump into filters?
I bumped into filters in 2017. There was a massacre against the minority in Southeast Asia. And at this point, I thought it would be a great idea when it's possible to put a message inside your profile picture at Facebook, Instagram, or WhatsApp. And in 2017, it was not possible to do it by your own. You always had to register at Facebook to get this filter for your profile picture. And I thought about an idea: why not developing a software where everyone can have access without have an account on the social network. So like a SaaS model, like a software which work on every smartphone without the need to download an app. So I had this idea, but based on my previous experience, I didn't want to found my own company by my own. So at some point I met an old colleague, Adrian, and we talked about this idea, and he was very motivated, and he really liked this idea. So we had some follow-up meetings, and we did some brainstorming and decided to found this company together. That was the starting point to help NGOs or to help companies to support a cause in the world. That was my starting point, how to found LiveDev.
I'm a little bit smiling here because apparently the background stories or meetings have been involving a lot of wine or bars in the past on Startup Radio, including Germany's Business Angel of the Year 2020, who actually bumped into his first investment in terms of a person, a founder, at a bar on a wedding. So admittedly, not his wedding or the wedding of his future investment, but actually it involved something like that. How did you guys brainstorm? Was it like, oh, we sit over beer, or did you actually get yourself in a meeting room, whiteboard, and just threw out crazy ideas?
No, it was the first one. We met in a bar, because at this point I moved to Munich, and I was just for one day in Hamburg, and I just contacted him and said, Adrian, do you want to catch up and talk about the company we worked together in the past? And he said, yes, of course. So we met over a beer, and we didn't talk about business or about the idea at first, but I remembered at the next day that he said he would like to also found his own company. And then I was back in Munich, and then a few weeks later, I was back in Hamburg, and I contacted him again, and not to have a beer, but to talk about my idea I had to explain it to him, because he also had the intention to start something by his own.
Lesson learned from this: it's always a good idea to ask a German, hey, can we catch up over a beer? Now you guys had the idea of having a filter for NGOs. How did you proceed? Where did you get the funding? How did you hire the first people? How did it all get started?
Yeah, we didn't get any funding. It was our private money. So we invested our own money in the company. I'm responsible for the sales and the marketing, and Adrian is responsible for the operation and the product development. We didn't get any funding. We founded the company with our private money. So and the structure is that I'm responsible for the sales and the marketing, and Adrian is responsible for the operations and for the product development. And with our money, we hired our first developer, and that was the start. That was this team of 3 to 5 people, young people working together. Yeah, had long nights, and because we had in our fields a lot of experience, we didn't need to invest a lot of external money, because we could do these things by our own. And that was our setup.
That was back in 2019, May of 2019. So yes. Quick question, do you currently have external investors?
No, it's still from our private money.
100% bootstrapped. Okay, I see it.
Yes.
So like 2 years ago, almost exactly 2 years ago, you set up the company, you've started with your own money, you offered products for NGOs. Where you guys are now, so how can you imagine to work with the LiveDev tool so that people listening to this, or maybe even watching this, get a kind of idea what you can do with your tool?
Yeah, when we started in 2019, we invested 1 year in the product development. And the idea was, of course, to reach out to a lot of NGOs and getting in contact with them. We did, I think, until now, like 10 to 15 projects for NGOs. But we also saw that the entertainment industry, the sports industry, And also the virtual event industry is pretty interesting and is interesting in our solution. So we started with some festivals, like where with music festivals in Cologne, which had a lot of guests, like 5,000 people. And we saw that from this 5,000 people, like 2,000 people like to use our solution. So we saw that there's a new market. And we focused also on the entertainment market and on the offline events market. And yeah, after a couple of months, there was the pandemic, and we had to change our whole business model because all local events were canceled. We wanted to work with restaurants together. We wanted to work with the sports industry, but unfortunately, it was not possible to access those events because everything was canceled. So we shifted our target group to virtual events and also to activating fans from home, and that's right now our target group that we work a lot of with a lot of virtual events, but also professional sports clubs like Liverpool in the Premier League, Bayern Munich basketball, and Audi, which is a sponsor of Bayern Munich basketball, but also supporting still NGOs like Unhate Women. It was a big campaign in Germany against women harassment in song text. Yeah, so yeah, we are looking forward that the vaccine is coming and that we can also reach our initially planned market.
Let me try to think about it from the perspective of the client, of your clients, talking about like an attendee of a big soccer game, of a big football game, of a big live event. So there's somewhere really big or almost everywhere very small QR code. You take your smartphone, you scan it, it says open this website, you open it, and what happens then? You got a virus on your phone?
Exactly. Like you're in the stadium and you maybe you sit on your seat and there's a flyer on your seat and there's a QR code on the screens are QR codes inside the stadium. You can scan them getting on our landing page. On this landing page, you can upload your own photo, and then you can get the filter of the brand or the sponsor of the sports team, or you have a filter of the two sports teams playing against each other, and you can show your that you're part of the community and share that you support your favorite sports club. And that's one use case inside the stadium, but actually our customers are starting earlier to use or to implement our solution. They already implementing it when you buy a ticket, because when you invest money to buy a ticket for a sports team, that's a very emotional moment. So when you get this ticket at home, you can scan on the ticket a QR code, or you get a virtual email. And there's a link placed, and through this link you can activate our software and get into the filter and show already before even the match started that you support your soccer team or your basketball team or any other kind of sports.
So you can already show your anticipation of the big game. Important word here in German, Vorfreude. So how does it actually look for your clients? What can they do with it? Talking about Liverpool, talking about Audi, talking about Bayern München basketball team. How do they use it? How do they apply it? I assume they integrate it into their marketing efforts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, they integrate it in their communication strategy on different touch points. They really like to use it to combine the offline entertainment and also the online world. Like when you're in the stadium or when you're in an event, you're in the offline world, and other people who are watching in the TV or in the online stream are in the online world. So with our solution, it's very easy to collect from both worlds photos and to show like a live stream, a photo gallery of all the fans who supports the sports team. The main intention of our customers is to generate an authentic reach, because through this photos, through this branded photos with a filter of the sponsor or the sports team, our customers reach new target groups because the fan is sharing his or her photo through social media, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, wherever, and reaching private connections, personalized friends and family. So that's the main intention, to use our solution to reach new target groups and through an authentic way. And for NGOs, they like to use our solution to motivate people who see a campaign, like when you walk outside on a billboard, that you can be a part of this social campaign. And through our filters, you can scan a QR code on a billboard and be a part of this campaign and support this cause they are promoting.
That would also mean you can likely actually see which specific billboard got the most interactions.
Yes, we have a reporting behind, so we can track every billboard. Then we see that one on the corner generated 500 images, the one in Berlin 1,000, the one in Munich 10,000. So we can also track the placements of the billboards and give sponsors, NGOs, whoever, and reporting how efficient this placement was.
That sounds pretty cool. Talking about your current reach, is there any limitation in terms of where you can really now offer your services? I was thinking basically from all we've been talking, you're pretty present in Europe. Are you available? Is your tune available anywhere else in the world? Would it be theoretically available if somebody from Brazil or the United States would listen to our podcast?
Yeah, sure. It's available all over the world. Right now, our target market is Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. We have some customers in UK. We had also projects in Australia or in LA. Sure, that's not a problem. Our solution is available all over the world. But at the moment, our target is Europe and the German-speaking countries.
Mm-hmm. What are you guys currently looking for? Are you looking for additions to your tech team? Are you looking for external investors? And what are your next steps?
I think when this interview is going online, we will already have released our new software, which helps or which enables people and our customers to create their own filter campaigns. So we can also work with partner agencies together. And we are right now searching for partners all over the world, wedding planners, advertisement agencies, different resellers who would like to offer our product to their customers. And also in addition, we are searching for funding and for talents for our tech team.
In terms of funding, I assume it would be Series A?
Yes, Series A, exactly.
Open to international investors, or are you just looking around in Europe?
All over the world. There's no limitation in that.
I like that approach. So actually, that was one of the very fastest interviews I've had at Startup Radio, so straight to the point. Bam, 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 bam. So we're not even recording for 20 minutes now. Nonetheless, I would like to thank you very much. I think a lot of people will require some additional information. Wherever you're listening this or watching this, go down here in the show notes. There is a link to our blog post at startupradio.io/blog. There you can have a look at LiveDAP, and there the guys will find your personal LinkedIn profile as well as the company website where they can learn more, right?
Exactly. Thank you very much. We will also place a QR code which you can use to test our solution.
Yes, there will be Startup Radio. There will be Startup Radio filter. Awesome. Great. Hannes, thank you very much. Thank you for Hamburg Startups for arranging this interview. And it was a pleasure having you here. And hopefully you come back towards the end of the year with a fixed Series A round, and we can talk about it again.
Thank you very much, Joe. Hopefully see you someday in Hamburg or in Frankfurt. Have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye.
If you are a professional looking at the European startup scene, Germany is a place you cannot miss. Fortunately for you, there is startuprad.io, the authority on German startups. This English-only podcast brings you fresh interviews each week, Most likely, you have never heard or read anything on these startups before in English, but you will in the future. Be ahead of the curve and subscribe to StartupRad.io podcast, or check for the StartupRad.io internet radio station. Check your Alexa for the StartupRad.io skill as well.